entertain you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
The Drive-In Theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
What's up, everybody? Good evening. It is 8 o'clock. It is Monday, March 25th, 2024. You're tuned into the Drive-In Speaker Box. I'm your host, Bo, the boom operator.
I'm Slick Dougie, the grip.
And you've got us for the next hour, and we're going to be talking to you about movie stuff.
Films and things.
Yeah, and news and hot goss and reviews and box office roundups and predictions of the future.
Yeah, box goss.
Box goss. Hot box goss. What? I don't know. .com.
No.
Hot box goss. See how they perform. I don't know. This is not working out. But anyway, if you're just now tuning in for the first time ever, we're sorry. you're lost. We've been doing this a really long time. You can tune in wherever it is you'd like to watch this show live. It is recorded live. We don't edit this. This is just straight up the dome. Unlike all these other like poser ass streamers that like put their channels out there and edit it for weeks. We don't do any of that for you guys. We barely even try. We just come out here, hit record, and just do it on Facebook, on Twitch, and YouTube Live just for you. But if you do want to hear the recording, you don't want to look at our face, you don't want to sit here and be a part of the chat, you can just download this audio podcast wherever it is you get those podcasts, like Spotify, Tuned In, Apple Podcasts, Google Music, whatever the kids use these days. We're not on TikTok, sorry. But anyway, for those of you that are on Twitch, thank you for your subs. Thank you for your follows. If you want to get into the Twitch pre-show, which is about a half hour of extra show every week where we just shoot the stuff with our viewers, you can follow us over there on twitch.com/thedriveinspeakerbox. Or twitch.tv, I guess is what it is. Even though it's not a TV, like television, like where, what .tv?
I mean, it's a vision that's being telecasted.
I guess so. I guess it's still relevant. But like, subscribe, follow, blah blah blah. Anyway, tonight we're gonna be talking about. Well, I'm going to be talking about Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire because you didn't see it.
No, I did not. Because I haven't seen the last two.
You almost didn't need to, but we'll talk about that later.
I've seen Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2.
But does busting make you feel good?
It sure does.
Well, then you could have just rolled in and felt good.
No, because, you know, with the last two attempts at Ghostbusters, it has not made anyone feel
good. But you didn't
good.
See Afterlife, so you no, don't even know.
I've not ever read that anyone was jazzed about it.
Ghostbusters fans were jazzed about it. I wasn't that jazzed about it. We're going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about it. We're going to talk about Ghostbusters.
I didn't realize that
we're going to pull out our trap.
We weren't Ghostbusters fans with, you know,
Slimer's
that
butt.
That guy right there and this dude right here.
Yeah.
And all of
this.
These
is a PK Weeb right meter.
And this dude that I write with right here.
That's my Weeb readings are off the charts.
Isn't that weird that a movie from the 80s that just has like goober slime monsters and like BJ ghost, like the world is just like, yeah, I love this.
I mean, yeah, why not? Bustin' makes us feel good. Velvet Santa says you absolutely do not have to see Ghostbusters from 2016.
Don't worry, I have no plans to ever.
So we'll talk about that later. We also caught Roadhouse,
yes.
the new Jake Gyllenhaal reimagining of the...
yeah, that's a good word for it.
Yeah, reimagining of the Patrick Swayze bar brawl classic Roadhouse of the same name. We're going to be talking about that, and we might pepper in some other stuff. I saw Spaceman on Netflix.
I watched You Can Call Me Bill in the movie theater.
Awesome. Okay. Wait, Tony Jones. I didn't ban Tony Jones. How do I unban Tony Jones? Unban Tony Jones. I didn't do that.
Yeah. How did that happen? Because he was in here talking just a minute ago.
Yeah, I didn't do that. That's weird. Sorry, Tony Jones. Huh. Weird. Sorry if you're tuning in on Twitch. My bad. Don't know how that happened. Totally didn't do that. Yeah, weird. Weird stuff. Anyway, sorry for the distraction. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about stuff. Let's talk about news, because news is a thing that happened this week. So, Jake, you got some pieces of paper?
Yeah, I got a little bit.
Okay, well, I'll start since you're doing a thing. Yeah, Tony Jones. I thought that was...
There he is. Okay, yeah, that's what I was doing, was trying to send a whisper over there to say... We don't know what happened, and to come on back.
Live recordings, man. Am I right? Super weird. I have no idea how that happened.
Yeah. Well, hey, since we're talking about Ghost, let's talk about the Ghost with the most. We got a Beetlejuice trailer, teaser, trailer release. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did, man.
What'd you feel about it?
You know, it's a lot of mixed feelings going on in this trailer. You know, they're definitely going to have to explain how the Maitlands are not there, you know.
See, that was my whole thing. And that was one thing I think I commented in our Twitch or in our
Discord
was that how are they going to explain the lack of
maybe
Gina
they crossed
Davis?
Over somehow. Maybe that was a thing.
Or,
that they did.
You know, I was thinking about it earlier today. When they go to the office and they're having to wait, when they come back, time has passed. And so they could be at the office for the deceased and, you know, time passes differently.
And we don't know. They may have a CGI de-aging, whatever. I don't know. You know, I don't, I hope so. Maybe they just crossed over. You know, that's what I'm thinking. But, you know, they got enough of the cast together. Obviously, they're not going to. You know, the dad is not only a pedophile, but also I think dead.
Yeah,
so,
they're showing his funeral, and that's the plot of the movie, right?
Yeah,
is that with a death in the family, three generations of Dietz are brought into the home once again. They return to the home, and Lydia's daughter uncovers the town that Alec Baldwin had built, but it's still being haunted by Beetlejuice, and so she activates him, and there's a portal to the afterlife. So it seems like they're going to go like a human, probably what's her name, Wednesday. She's probably going to go into afterlife as a person via
what if it's like the cartoon, like some of the cartoon storylines where did you ever watch the cartoon?
Watched the cartoon so many times.
Yeah, the cartoon was great.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read a lot of cool things about this trailer, you know, and the production, people saying that Michael Keaton was fantastic on set, jumping right back into the role. Michael Keaton said he really enjoyed like the script.
Practical effects.
Lots of practical effects. Tim Burton going back and using stop motion again for some of those Beetlejuice effects, which I think is really cool and very tasteful. So, you know, I'm hoping that Tim Burton will use this as an opportunity to kind of create some of that old style fun visual shit that we all enjoy out of him, you know. We'll see. Will it be way more fan service? Will it be kind of like fan service the movie, like Ghostbusters Frozen Empire was, which I'll talk about later? Who knows? But the trailer was out. I'm not mad at it. I like Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice, the Broadway musical, I've seen it. It's good. It's coming to the Walton Arts Center here in Fayetteville, Arkansas in October. We're going to do a Beetlejuice area. We're going to do a seance scene in at Nightmare on Block Street this year, around the round table. You know, we'll have sandworms and fun stuff, so it should be a good time. Beetlejuice, man.
Uh-oh. And then what can I write here? There's a bunch of stuff about, talking about ghosts, let's stick with the ghost. We talked about The Crow last week.
We did.
Because the Crow trailer came out, and commenters, and we said, what about Ernie Hudson and all that? And I guess he talked with some people about that, and he said, you know, of course to him, Brandon Lee's always going to be The Crow.
Well, Alex Proyas, the director of The Crow, was
he's like, nah.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah, so seems like all of the original cast and people involved in that movie are not jazzed about it. And then things that should be ghosts, Jurassic World 4.
Apparently, can we not?
Scarlett Johansson is in talks to be the leading role in the new Jurassic World 4, which will take on new characters, stepping away from Christopher Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard's characters.
Can we just put it to rest? Can these dinosaurs just get extinct again? Like, you know, we brought them back. Let's extinct them again. Mm. Let's unalive those dinosaurs.
Well, it's like the mosasaur is going to die, right? Because they only had one mosasaur. And then I guess the pterodactyls are going to continue to...
What about that kid who's a clone? What about that storyline, huh? What about the fact that they spent trillions of dollars to sell raptors for $1 million? Where was that storyline?
Dude, Velvet Santa says put lasers on the dinosaurs and he's down.
They did.
No, they didn't. They used lasers to target things for the dinosaurs.
When you could have just shot a bullet.
It's even better.
That movie was so stupid. Like, let's go ahead and put a laser target on a bad guy so that the dinosaur can be released and run after for however hundreds of yards or miles that it has to go to get that target while we keep the laser on it, when we could have just shot it with a gun. You know?
Yeah. All the military technology in the world. But yeah,
but dinosaurs,
they're going to transport a dinosaur into close proximity enough to highlight someone with a laser and it'll go bite them real hard.
It's the stupidest movie on earth.
And then they're like, do I hear $100,000 for this animal?
And this like cartel person's like, ooh, $100,000.
They're like, whoa, biggest sale of the night, everybody. And then they're like, $5,000 for this one. No, nobody, $800. And someone's like, I'll buy a dinosaur for $800.
It was so bad. This movie was so stupid.
Yeah. And then I like how those guys just get in the cage with the one and like, I bet it's okay. My arms are ripped off.
Yeah. I hate that movie so much. But we're going to get another one.
Like me.
Can I have more of this?
You can have the rest of it.
You don't want any more of this?
No, go for it.
Look at this. Jake brought this Modelo Chelada Mango Chile.
Not sponsored.
And it's really good. Are you going to drink? Oh, you already cracked that one open.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really good. I'm really digging this.
Thanks yeah, sounds the... like the plot of a Tubi or Redbox knockoff. Yeah, likely so. And one of the reasons they said they're in talks with Scarlett Johansson for, you know, Jurassic World 4 is because she has her... franchise experience. You know, they can bring in someone that's like
that's already like desensitized to making crap on top of crap for 19 movies in a row. Yeah.
Well, and other things coming back is Boondock Saints 3. You seen that? And but Norman Reedus and Sean Patrick Flannery are coming back. However, Boondock Saints 3 is going to be a reimagining.
So I have very strong feelings about Boondock Saints. Okay, because there was a time in my life, actually the original co-host of the Drive-In Speaker Box was a friend of mine in high school. Goes by the name of Michael. He was the negative cutter, and he and I would watch movies. Like we would just watch all these movies, and we both worked at video stores. He worked at Blockbuster. I worked at Hastings. And Boondock Saints, like there was a while we were really into like Hong Kong action, like pistol operas, you know, Chow Yun Fat, like John Woo kind of stuff. You know, we're talking The Killer, we're talking Hard Boiled, we're talking like, you know, all that stuff. And Boondock Saints came out as a Blockbuster exclusive. Like it was Blockbuster Video. And you could only get this because it was straight to video, right? It never got a theatrical release. And
really?
It was like, yeah. And it was like Blockbuster you could only get it here. And it was kind of like, remember when Legionnaire was like trying to be like a video and in the theater at this, Jean-Claude Van Damme? They're like, let's see what happens if we release them at the same time and what does better. But Boondock Saints was like a Blockbuster exclusive. And we saw this and we were like really into sort of like pistol operas at the time. Also because we were kind of disgruntled high school students too. And we're like, dude, this movie is cool. And we were really into it. And we're trying to tell all these people about like, oh yeah, Boondock Saints. I'm like, I've never heard of it. Who are these people? This looks same. And then several years later, it like comes back as like this sort of dorm room cult classic. And the worst kind of people really got into this movie. Like, it was all the broiest of douchebag Bradleys and Chadleys that were in like Theta Beta Master Beta or whatever, their stupid frat. If you're in a frat, then go fuck yourself. I don't know. I can't. Like, I'm not gonna. Sorry. But you know, it made me hate the movie. And like the people that ended up loving this movie, and you'd see posters at like on campus poster sales of Boondock Saints. It's like the two, you know, what are they, Irish guys, like, you know, with guns and trench coats. And I ended up like passionately hating this movie that I once loved. And then when the second one came out, I was like, I spit on you. And I turned French for like a second. And I don't want to see another one of these. I'm over it.
This is a reimagining.
Fuck that. No. No.
Well.
No.
Speaking of people coming back here, if you're a Peaky Blinders fan, it was announced.
More douchebags like that, too.
That
you know when everybody, all those douchebags tried to get the Peaky Blinders haircut, and then they were like, shit, what have I done? I look like an idiot.
Yeah. Cillian Murphy's coming back to be in the movie. So I've never watched any of Peaky Blinders.
Have you watched Boondock Saints, the first one?
Man, I can never get into it. I've tried. I've never sat and watched the whole movie, just because it's not like
it was.
I've played as,
there was a time it was good.
I've played as the Boondock Saints in Broforce.
What the hell? They are characters in Broforce?
Yeah.
No wonder. That's why I don't like the movie.
You have the two of them, and then if one of them, if you get shot, they're the only way you get shot more than once with a character. If one of them dies, then the other one gets powered up and pissed about his brother dying.
I think all my love for Boondock Saints got shifted to Equilibrium, and I felt like
the most pistol opera of movies.
Gunkata. That movie's so dumb. And was it like, is it Taye Diggs or was it Omar Epps that was in that? I think it was, I can't remember.
I don't.
Ugh, dude, Equilibrium is so ridiculous. Movie Albert says Peaky Blinders good, Boondock Saints sucks. I'm going to stand by that. Movie Albert, you're on board. You know, when I was like a teenager, yeah, I liked Boondock Saints, and I'm not into it anymore. Like, I grew up.
Yeah,
I don't want to see any more of it.
I feel like that's like any of those movies like that, like any kind of Tarantino or like Robert Rodriguez like style films like that. If you're, you know, I don't know, if you're like a older adult and that you're just like, yeah, this is it, or like a Kevin Smith movie or something. Those are things that you can definitely grow out of. That, you know,
well, like, and also better things have come in their place. You know, and you know, there are movies like, going back to The Crow, for example, that somehow kind of find a timelessness to them, like Dark City and The Crow. Those are both, you know, the same director. But Boondock Saints didn't age well. And there are movies that are timeless, and then there are movies that are kind of good for that time. And I feel like Boondock Saints is one of those that was just good for that time. And Carl over on Twitch said Taye Diggs was in Equilibrium. You know, that's how I used to order my coffee when I was like, younger. People are like, oh, I go to the coffee shop, and they go, oh, how do you like your coffee? And I go, Taye Diggs. And they'd look at me, and I go, hot and black. And they're like, excuse me, who's Taye Diggs? And I was like, damn it, this joke. And the joke never works.
Yeah, because it's weird.
No, it's a good joke. Because Taye Diggs is both of those things. Anyway, yeah, what else? Did you see the Alien Romulus trailer? Speaking of other things getting resurrected.
Speaking of things that have had a couple of not good movies recently.
Well, okay, here's the deal. Alien Romulus trailer dropped this week. Fede Alvarez, right? Okay, if you don't know where he's coming from, Don't Breathe Evil Dead, you know, some pretty successful horror movies that he's done, even though I didn't necessarily like his Evil Dead movie. I thought it was a good horror movie. I thought it was a terrible Evil Dead movie. But thinking of him making an Alien movie, everybody's like, yeah, we're going to go back to Alien's roots and make it scary and make these aliens in the ship and make them kill people. And it's not going to be a Sigourney Weaver story. It's just going to be aliens on a ship causing havoc. And I'm like, okay, we've already seen this. Do we need this? You know, because you know it's going to be another, it's going to be another femme fatale. It's going to be another Final Girl story. It's going to be the exact same movie
as Alien. And what was the first one after the original four?
Prometheus?
Is that what it is?
The origin story? Because there was
the one where they introduced the big albino guys.
That was the Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
The one that has the girl and she
Resurrection.
Like gets in the thing and she cuts the thing out of herself.
I think that was Prometheus.
Yeah.
You know, this one's just going back to spaceships, scary aliens, get them, and there's like one chick that survives. And
yeah, but if it's not Ripley, what's it matter?
That's kind of my point. Like, the thing that makes Alien great is the fact that it was a new story, it was a new thing, you know, it was original, it was unique. I don't think we need to see this again.
Give us more Space Marines, dude. Aliens, really, like,
make something. Can we not have anything that's sacred? Like, I think is the problem. Like, you know, science fiction, in my opinion, has been on shaky grounds for a while now because of Star Wars. And, you know, a lot of people are... I feel like some of the best science fiction that's been coming out has been in long-form television. You know, you had The Expanse, which was really, really good. You know, The 100, which was okay. You know, you've had these TV shows, you know, of course, Star Trek and all these things, even though it's kind of fallen apart lately. Those have been the better science fiction.
Orville
is fantastic, but science fiction movies have just been really weak lately. I think that this director is probably a good pick for making a monster movie, which I think this is just going to be. But I don't know if it's really needed.
I can't think of any like really big sci-fi movies that is like, yeah, this is sci-fi that everyone will love forever, except for Blade Runner 2049, but that's a sequel, or Dune, that's a remake, you know. So I don't. Yeah,
I mean, as James said on Facebook, he said, "I went to the Story dealership; they only had used models." I don't know. The trailer, it's out there. You can check it out. What did you have written down?
Well, I did see that there's some on-set photos from Mission Impossible, and you'll never guess what it is. Tom Cruise running.
He's running?
Yeah. Dude, Tom Cruise running, man. He never does that. But someone was lucky enough to snap a photo of Tom Cruise mid-sprint, you know, on the set of the next Mission Impossible. I need it. I can't wait. I wasn't... The last Mission Impossible is not my favorite. It's probably my least favorite Mission Impossible, but that's because it was...
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. We both liked it, I think, but it wasn't... It was trying to build up for a finale, and it wasn't trying to be like that self-contained, like, finish the mission movie.
Well, I mean, I think that's the problem with all movies now, is they're like, how do we keep the thing going?
Well, but they said that these two are the last ones, right? It was supposed to be a part one and part two. And then part one was a bit lacking, you know? It wasn't it wasn't there like what we've come accustomed to expect from a Mission Impossible movie. You know, a little bit of a letdown, but... I need this. I need part two. I need the excitement of Mission Impossible.
So, Jake, over on Twitch, Vince asks, Jake, do you like the Mission Impossible series more than the Fast and the Furious series as a whole?
100%.
I mean, that's the only right answer.
There's only one semi-lacking Mission Impossible movie. The rest of them are just incredible, and they're just such good movies.
Which is the one that's lacking?
The most recent.
Okay, well, I was thinking more two. Like four.
Which one was four?
That's the one where they're in Dubai.
Oh, where he climbs the glass.
That was the best part. That was the best part.
No, that one's cool because
with
you
Jeremy
have
Renner,
Simon Pegg being awesome. Jeremy Renner joins.
I mean,
they're
all pretty freaking good. Or part two, the John Woo one was a little weird because like Tom Cruise had the long hair.
It's a totally different style from every other one.
But it was
of
still
them.
Very good. The fight scene on the beach at the end was a little weak because it was just like, but it was very, it was also very John Woo.
It was all over a girl and stuff like that too. But, you know, I like the Mission Impossible movies, and there's not one of them where you're like, well, this movie sucks.
No.
The last two Fast and Furious movies, it's been like, these movies suck, you know, like up and
I'm glad that you finally come to the realization and woke up and cut through the fog
up to that one through eight. I will
no,
defend.
It was
9 and 10.
What was the one? What was the Hobbs and Shaw? And what was the one where the helicopter battle with the Samoans with sticks
Hobbs and
versus
Shaw.
Okay. That one was like when that happened, Fast and the Furious was gone. Like, well, actually, when the Bluetooth-controlled World War II submarines happened, and the Space Fiero, where they shifted gears in space and got better traction.
The submarine was 8. The space one was 9.
So since 8, it has just been, get out of here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Fast and Furious, the last two at least, have been terrible.
I'm proud to hear these words because admission is the first step.
1, 2, and 3 are classics for sure. 1 through 5 are really, really good. It tapers from there.
I mean, Tokyo Drift was pretty badass.
Yeah. But no, dude, I like Mission Impossible way better than
because Mission Impossible Fast and Furious, are some good movies, definitely. And you guys can all shut your dirty pie holes if you don't. Like, because I remember what was it? I think it was Knight Owlishly, one of our Twitch viewers, was like, I've never seen any of the Mission Impossible movies, guys, but you talk about them all the time. You say they're pretty good. She doesn't actually talk like this.
No, she doesn't.
But she's like, you know, I'm gonna watch them. I'm gonna check them out. And then lo and behold, like, these movies aren't so bad.
Yeah.
I know, because they aren't. They're pretty freaking good, man. Anyway, what else is going on in the news?
I mean, that was all I had, really.
Okay, well, same, because there was not a whole lot of news.
Not a lot.
But we need to talk about what's coming out in theaters this week, because there's not a lot. There's one very big one that's coming out, and a couple of small ones. We'll talk about the small ones. We've got Asphalt City coming out this week. It is a new film starring Sean Penn, who doesn't do a lot of movies. Is either he's like really, really hard up for money, or he, you know, really likes the script, which I feel like it's the other way around. And Ty Sheridan, who you've seen in a lot of stuff. This movie is about a young paramedic assigned to the New York City night shift with an uncompromising and seasoned partner, Gene Ratofsky, played by Sean Penn. Each 911 call is often dangerous and uncertain, putting their lives on the line every day to help others. Just drama. It's rated R.
This has Mike Tyson in it.
It does have Mike Tyson in it as a cameo. Which, how are your feelings about the new Mike Tyson fight? Like, I mean, have you been keeping up
Jake
with that?
Paul?
Yeah, I mean, you've been keeping up with this?
No. But it's not till next year, right?
Yeah.
I just hope Mike Tyson breaks him in half, man. I don't know. I want his head to get punched clean off. I want it to be like What We Do in the Shadows, where they like vampire vision the boxer and just like punch his head off, and they just like doosh, and then his head just goes flying. Yeah.
I just hope that you know, maybe Jake Paul will like notice that Mike Tyson's eyes blink wherever he's gonna punch, like in the video game. And, everything's in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out joke because that game's amazing. Also coming out this weekend, The Listener from director Steve Buscemi. Starring Tessa Thompson. She plays a helpline volunteer who's a part of this small group that gets on the phone every night fielding calls from all kinds of people feeling lonely and broken, and it's a drama. And of course she gets one call that is like really important. Kind of an indie film. Not sure if it's going to hit a theater near you. It's saying it's playing in theaters. It's from Vertical Films. But Steve Buscemi, you know, you don't see him directing a whole lot. And Tessa Thompson is in so many things, and she's generally pretty good.
Yeah, she's in a couple of your favorite movies, man.
I know.
Thor 2 and 3.
Love both of those, like, just wholeheartedly.
Or
like
Thor 3 and 4.
With my full heart, I love the Thor movies. Yeah, for sure. But also, the big one, the one that's coming out this theater that everybody, or this week that everybody is talking about and wanting to see, Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. Why is everything an empire? Why is that Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, Godzilla, X Kong, New Empire, Old Empire, Empire Strikes Back, Empire of the Sun, Empire?
Because they decided that everything they've told us in all the movies and stuff leading up to this is not right, and there's more Kongs, and they do still exist, even though we've seen their kingdom in
ruins.
In that
weird in-between world of
In the Land of the Lost, you know, that Kongs were the protectors of the one island where the lizard, the skull lizards would hatch and everything. But now there's more, and there's Lanky Kong apparently, and he's the bad guy. And Diddy Kong's gonna come out of nowhere, and Trixie's gonna come floating in with her hair spinning like crazy.
You know what's really weird about this movie is starring absolutely no one.
It has old dude from
Brian
Bullet
Tyree
Train.
Henry.
Yeah,
as like the most leadingest star here, it has quite literally no star power in it.
I mean, the stars.
The Godzilla. I mean, yeah, it's Godzilla and Kong, two ancient titans. Godzilla and Kong clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island mysteries. Oh, if they didn't already clash in the last one, but now Godzilla's pink and there's Kongs.
There's an ice Godzilla thing that they're gonna have to fight.
Can we just get Mechagodzilla? Just fucking let's get Mothra. Let's get Mechagodzilla. Let's get Rodan. Let's just make the Godzilla movie we all want to see. We don't want to see it fight Kong. Kong's stupid.
That's true. They gave us Mechagodzilla for 2 seconds and it was dumb.
Yeah. Like this.
And we got Rodan for like no time at all and it just like chased a plane.
Yeah. This, I don't want to see this. I don't care about this. I don't care about this at all. This movie looks terrible. I don't. Why?
Well, yeah.
I hate this.
I do too. I'm not jazzed about it.
And I like Godzilla. I mean, the Godzilla minus one was freaking awesome, dude. Yeah. Bum 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 bum. Like Godzilla smacks, and this movie looks so stupid.
We've spent so much more money on Godzilla stuff than just that one, and I can't.
I know they're all tucked down here.
There's a lot. There's multiple Gojiras back here.
There's a bunch. I'm not excited about any of this.
No, there's been nothing in this that I've been like, I gotta see it. And I think part of that is like after the last one.
David on Facebook saying we need some Gamera. Yeah, we need...
Dude!
Yes.
If they could find a way to make that crossover, have Gamera and...
the turtle,
Gojira.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just... The problem with these movies is I don't have any reason to want to see them, you know? Night actually asked about the Thor movies. He was kidding. I don't like any of the Thor movies. I don't know. I'm not excited about this. Like, because I love Godzilla. Like, Godzilla Minus One, like I just said, was freaking cool. This doesn't look freaking cool. Like, this looks like they're trying to just sell us some tickets and a popcorn bucket. What is it? Is it going to be like King Kong's butt?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like come up with a crazy popcorn bucket, have a pink Godzilla, sell tickets, move on to the next one.
Dude, Velvet Santa 2, Jet Jaguar. Well, yeah, give us more
spin.
Godzilla stuff. Jet Jaguar was in the most recent short film at the Godzilla Fest in Japan. You know, because they're like, this is what fans, like real people that like actually like Godzilla want, and they had a Jet Jaguar short film.
Well, and I think the problem that I see with all of these is, you know, you hear producers and directors and go, well, we really want to open up the Godzilla franchise to a new audience of fans. And it's like, no, how about show new fans why all these old fans think Godzilla rules? you know?
Yeah, there hasn't really been anything cool about Godzilla in the new movies, in the, what, the Lionsgate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the first one, there was a couple of bugs, and at the very end, Godzilla finally unleashed some breath. And you're like, well, that was kind of cool, but you mostly watched Aaron Taylor Johnson just run around from setting to setting and each time encounter Godzilla. And then what happened in the second one? The second one was...
He gets an axe or something?
No. Is the second one the one that brought in Ghidorah and...
I don't even remember anymore.
Godzilla dies and then Mothra sacrifices...
Was that the one with Bobby...
Millie Bobby Brown? Yeah, and then Mothra just dies... Yeah. And then the Godzilla comes back.
She should have sang to Mothra and been like the little child Mothra singer.
Where's Godzuki?
Maybe it's in this one.
Make a movie based on the cartoon.
Blowing little smoke rings. Me, 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 me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Godzilla versus Kong or X-Kong, whatever the X means, it's coming out this weekend. So that's your movie. Okay, well, there you have it. Is it time to talk about Ghostbusters? Ghostbusters Frozen Throne? Frozen Empire? Frozen Day After Tomorrow? Frozen Diablo 5 bad guy? Vince over on Twitch just said, I watched the first Godzilla for the first time a few months ago. It rules. Yes, watch Godzilla Minus One. It also rules. But Ghostbusters, here we go. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. It is 2 hours of bustin' to make you feel good. Directed by Gil Kenan. It's written by Jason Reitman, you know, in dedication to his father. It's a movie with Paul Rudd and Carrie Coon, the descendant of the Spangler family. It's got Stranger Things kid in it. It's got Kumail Nanjiani being a goober in it. It's got Patton Oswalt being Patton Oswalt in it. It's got McKenna Grace being a lesbian nerd in it. It's got Celeste O'Connor because she was in the last one. It's got Logan Kim because he was also in the last one.
Who were these people?
They were the kids that are gonna bust ghosts. But then it also has Annie Potts,
yeah,
and Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and Ernie Hudson and William Atherton as Mayor No Dick, and you know, they and John Rothman for absolutely no other reason than the fact that this guy has still been working at that library for 35 fucking years. And so, so let me just go ahead and start the by saying, when I left the theater, I enjoyed myself. Okay.
Is that because instead of phone calls, since no one does anymore, there was like Facebook messages or like Yelp messages to Annie Potts, and she just types out, Ghostbusters, what do you want? What do you want? We got one!
You know, no, it was Annie Potts was in it for all of 5 seconds, and she implored some, which was actually kind of cool because they were pulling a little bit of lore from like the real Ghostbusters and Extreme Ghostbusters and things like, you know, the hand thing and things that were like, oh, I remember that kind of from the cartoon. And, you know, there was some interesting fan service there, but there was fan service, you know, John Rothman. Let me pull up who this guy actually is. I don't know if you can really see it in my TV, my viewer here, but John Rothman was in the original Ghostbusters as like the guy that worked at the library that was like, oh my gosh, there's ghosts in the library, and you know, everybody runs away and is like, oh my gosh, you're right, there was ghosts in the library. The library ghost was in there for 2 seconds, and Dan Aykroyd did the same, like, oh, you know. And it was like weird little callbacks like that that were almost unnecessary, but also kind of tasted okay. I think part of the reason I liked it is at the local AMC, they had like the local NWA Ghostbusters. They had like a ghostbusting car parked out front with like sirens on, and they were all in the lobby with their like proton packs and stuff like this. And I was like, okay, there's some excitement about a movie.
Was one of our buddies part of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
No, not that buddy. Oh. A couple of different buddies. But, you know, and it was like, it was kind of cool because it made me remember like movie premieres, you know, when people gave a shit and were like excited about it. But this movie, you know, honestly, of all the cameos, Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson, in my opinion, were the two that carried the movie because they were also the two that actually seemed like they cared enough to be there on set. Like Bill Murray was like, hey, paycheck, tall, dark, and horny. Here's a joke. Anybody asked for Venkman? And, you know, we're like, not really. And he shows up and goes, and that's all you get. And he goes, I'm wearing Ray-Bans. And they're selling like Ghostbusters Bill Murray edition Ray-Bans for $1 billion. And, you know, all of these things that were just kind of set up to make you like have that nostalgia scratch, right? Where this movie works is it ties in the old firehouse, it ties in the containment unit, it asks the question like, you've been filling this containment unit up with ghosts forever and didn't think about it ever getting full, you know? And but where it falls apart is, you know, Camille Nanjiani's character, who I thought I wanted to like because I really like him as he's a very talented, has a wide range. He can do serious, he can do comedy, he can do physical stuff. But, you know, it's all about like the, as Velvet Santa on Twitch says, like there's, it goes back to the 19th century of, you know, there's this lore of this ghost that got captured, and that was cool. It like ties it back into kind of like the Gozer the Gozerian. There's an old history of paranormal activity and blah 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 that Ray ends up kind of tapping into because Camille Nanjiani sells this artifact to Ray that belonged to his great grandmother, who was an ancient Ghostbuster. And this is where it kind of got weird. It's like these firebenders that could control flame, that used fire to like bust ghosts. They were the fire masters.
So magic exists in addition
to ghosts. So now magic exists in addition to ghosts. And it was like, okay. And then there was another subplot that I thought was kind of unnecessary. And I'm gonna
paranormal's one thing. Magic is another.
So that was a little bit stretch for me, especially in the end when he has his like outfit on and he's like shooting fire out of his hand, like, you know, one of the Eternals, and also alongside a proton pack, you know. And it's like, oh, they could have just cut all that shit out. But anyway, McKenna Grace's character, Phoebe Spangler, who really did carry the movie in Afterlife, like as a descendant of the Spangler family, she is the best and worst part of this movie because, you know, yeah, she's the direct descendant of Egon, but not only is she the most brilliant person, but she's also the one that screws everything up because she's like, I'm an adolescent and I'm in love with a girl that's also a ghost. And, you know, here's the thing. Before I sound like I'm not PC, there is a teenage lesbian subplot in this movie where Phoebe Spangler, of course, falls in love-ish with this teenage ghost that's a girl who ends up manipulating her to unlock this portal to unlock this other mega ghost from, you know, some Aztec dimension to come and freeze the whole planet or whatever. And she's like, well, I'm in love with this ghost because nobody understands me, and I want to go to the afterlife and kiss this girl. And the whole time I'm thinking, like, why are we sexualizing a 15-year-old? You know, I don't.
And ghosts.
And that's the thing. It's like, my problem is not because it's like, oh, these two girls are falling in love or whatever. It's like, I don't want to think about a 15-year-old in a sexual way. Why are we sexualizing this romantic love relationship with these kids? Like, it was a little strange. And, you know, I get in a lot of movies where there's like crushes and all this kind of stuff. But it just seemed very forced in a way to where it did not seem necessary for the plot of this, where it just kind of tripped on its own feet. There was a whole lot of things already trying to happen, like the Spangler family, Paul Rudd trying to be her dad, and the old Ghostbusters trying to come into a new, like, sense of importance, and you know, Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson entering their golden years, and Annie Potts showing up, and these kids figuring out what is a Ghostbuster in the world wanting. It's like there's so many weird plot lines going on that you just, none of them felt important. And then you add in all these like romance stories and betrayal stories and Camille Nanjiani's great grandmother story, and it just felt so scattered that it kind of fell apart. And but overall, I mean, it was fun, but it just felt like too much. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
As Velvet Santa said on Twitch, they could have gotten rid of 4 random characters and the movie would have been, you know, M-mo poorer. I don't know what that means, but I think it was just too much going on. And they could have, like, really trimmed out a lot of this stuff and made it a lot more streamlined.
No poorer.
They definitely could have killed like the Lars character, the Melody character. They could have trimmed out the Camille Nanjiani character. They could have trimmed out a lot of this. Vince says, is this it, or did they leave it open-ended? Of course they left it open-ended. They're like, we're the Ghostbusters, and now there's a whole bunch of ghosts in New York City because this containment unit. Like, Slimer was in there, and Slimer saved the day, which was actually kind of a fun scene, where Slimer comes up, eats a pizza that was possessed by a ghost, and, you know, he shows his butt cheeks. Actually, where's
you bringing out thick Slimer?
I'm bringing out the thick daddy Slimer boy. Look at that donk, man. Like, oh, hang on, I just spanked that booty. You know, I mean, everybody likes the Slimer, and it had all those things, and it just had too many things. It had too many things. But overall, I felt like it was a fun popcorn movie, and if you want to go see it, go see it. If you like Ghostbusters, if you like the idea of proton packs and you know, ghost traps and like Slimer, and if you like all that stuff, you're gonna enjoy this movie. But just don't think about it too hard. They reference the incident with the
Statue of Liberty,
and there's a scene in the background where they're testing like the goo gun, and you know, it's just like, we got to make sure everything is accounted for.
How does that make sense in this world where all of that happened 40 years ago?
Well, and that's where it kind of also falls apart a little bit, is, you know, the Mayor Peck is like, in 1989, all these ghosts, and you know, I guess Ernie Hudson, Winston Zeddemore, a.k.a. the coolest Ghostbuster.
I'll believe in anything if you pay me enough.
Exactly. He became the millionaire philanthropist.
Oh, nice.
And so he's the one bankrolling all this stuff because he was just like, this is a job, dude. But also he's like investing all this money in paranormal shit, and apparently paranormal shit hadn't happened since the 80s. You know, it's like, that's also kind of weird.
They just rode the Statue of Liberty, and the ghosts were like, man,
We're done, dude.
Forget it, bro.
Too much good energy goop. You know, your love is taking me higher. And just like, Vigo. And once Vigo left, he took all the ghosts with him. And and that baby. Like, I don't know. But yeah, Ernie Hudson has the tools and the talent. I don't know. This movie, it was fun. I wished I'd gotten the trap popcorn bucket. They didn't have it at our theater. So anyway. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, you can go see it.
You got to get to those early. Say, I want to talk about the one I saw in theaters here just real quick, and then we can both hit on Roadhouse.
Okay.
Because it's a remake, you know, it'll be quick too. I saw the William Shatner kind of documentary movie, You Can Call Me Bill. It was supposed to have come out last year, but it was just released here recently.
We had it in our theaters?
Yeah. Yeah, we had it at our local Malco. One of our local theaters had it. Because I was looking for a movie to watch. I was like, I don't want to watch Ghostbusters. There's nothing else out in the theaters. No Indian movies. I'm sorry, everybody. But they did have You Can Call Me Bill. And I was like, well, I adore William Shatner. I like so many things that he's done. I will go watch this movie. And it's not just him talking about Captain Kirk. Of course, Star Trek is
in
there.
Does he sing?
It shows clips of him singing, both for real and as jokes. And a lot of it is just, it's the 90 some odd year old man At the time he was filming this, 91 or 92, because he's 93 as of the other day. Good Lord. Yeah, just the other day he turned 93.
He looks good for 93.
Yeah, not bad, right? But he's sitting there, and it's him talking about life and the things that he's learned through his lifetime and the world that he's been involved in and lived in. You know, it's not him being like, well, and then on Star Trek this, and then on Star Trek that. Or
he probably doesn't remember any of that.
No, he does, man. He's so sharp, and everything he talks about. And but it's a an inflection. It's him talking about his experiences and life and lessons that he's learned and how he can relate it and just kind of like how to be a better person and lessons learned and stuff like that. And it's very, very good. It is a it'll make you feels movie. It's very funny. Very sad, all at the same time, and it's incredibly interesting. It's divvied up into chapters. It's him talking about growing up in Canada as a boy, and then becoming an actor. All of the projects he's got to work on, and things that he's learned from those. Like T.J. Hooker and Star Trek. Doing Boston Legal. Guest appearances on shows.
I just saw that this was a Legion film.
Yeah. Oh,
okay,
yeah,
that's
Legion
cool.
M, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was highly entertaining, and it was never dull in its entire runtime. A little over an hour and a half. But it's just people interviewing Shatner and him talking about his life and really what he has going on right now, because it was a documentary they started to make as he had been announced to win a Lifetime Achievement Award. And he's kind of like, what is a Lifetime Achievement Award? What makes it where I'm getting this instead of someone more worthy or someone that's contributed more? And he kind of talks about just what it is to be a person and to live a life of so many experiences. It's very interesting. It's a lot of fun. You actually get to see updated, crisp, like remasters of OG Star Trek.
Damn. Kind of like in that documentary where we got to see some crispy Deep Space Nine.
They did the 4K Deep Space Nine.
God, yeah. What I wouldn't do to have a whole remaster of Deep Space Nine.
The world wanted it after that. We're like, give us that. But yeah, you get some like almost like 4K from the late 60s original Star Trek. Like the fidelity and the clarity on some original Star Trek scenes are the same as when it goes back to him being filmed in 2023.
Damn, dude.
Yeah. So that was very cool. And he talks about a line in Star Trek Generations when Kirk dies and how he filmed the death scene. And he's like, I wanted one more take because I wanted to do it completely different. I wanted to do it as how Captain Kirk viewed the world. And he talks about stuff like that. So if you are a Star Trek fan, there are things in there for you. If you're a T.J. Hooker fan, there's things in there for you. He reflects on the characters and what it means to be those characters and who they were. And all of that was very interesting too. So, I liked it. Girlfriend went with me. She was like, who's William Shatner when we walked in? And I was like, who doesn't know?
You about to find out.
Who doesn't know who William Shatner was? And then at the end of the movie, she goes, I love him, you know? So, it's very good. I highly recommend it if you get a chance to, see this in a local theater, or if not, when it comes to somewhere where you can watch it.
All right. Well, you can call me Bill in theaters right now, maybe for about only a week, and maybe not in a theater near you, but you can check it out if it is. So we only have a little bit of time left. Are we going to talk about Roadhouse?
Yeah, we got to talk about Roadhouse.
All right. Roadhouse, we've been talking about it. We've been speculating on it. It's been a thing that we've been reporting on the Drive-In Speaker X for a while, ever since they said that they were going to do it.
No, Vince, he didn't talk about how he's horrible to people.
And it's a reimagining. It's not, you know, he's not the son of Dalton. He's not a descendant of Dalton.
He's a different Dalton.
He's a different Dalton, and he's an ex-UFC fighter by the name Dalton, who takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse, not a wherever the hell Texas, middle of the road.
I think it was supposed
Kentucky,
to be in Missouri.
Missouri, yeah, this is some middle America. only to discover that paradise is not at all as it seems. And the bad guy in this is Billy Magnuson, who plays Ben Brandt. And Billy Magnuson, obviously not the same caliber of villain as the OG Roadhouse, because Billy Magnuson also always kind of plays like a dumbass. You know, he just is really good about playing.
He's like a frat guy.
He's like a fratty douche idiot. And you've got Joaquin Dalamedia, who I have not seen in a movie in a really long time. He's like pushing 90, I feel like, 80. He was the sheriff.
Who else he was?
He was in Three Amigos.
He was in Fast and Furious.
He was in Fast and Furious. You got Lucas Gage, who actually takes pretty good roles, playing a side role as Billy. Arturo Castro, who's pretty funny, who played one of these henchmen. The Mo character, I thought, was kind of fun comic relief. But then you've got Jake Gyllenhaal playing Dalton. And then you've got Conor McGregor playing the guy. The cartoon character that, you know, I guess is the clone of the guy that has, like, sex with people in prison and gets his throat ripped out by Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. As soon as Conor McGregor enters, it just becomes a cartoon. He walks bow-legged. He even runs bow-legged in one scene.
Well, Conor McGregor's also a stupid asshole and not a good actor. And
he smiles the whole time and walks like a weirdo.
He's a smug douche on screen and off screen. And
So basically, this movie cannot stand up to the original at all. There's no chance.
It had its merits.
It did. It's not a bad movie. I did not have a bad time watching it.
I thought it was a little fight heavy.
Yeah, and all of the fights were CGI.
Dude, some of the punching was CGI.
One of the earliest scenes, every time the fist would go near this guy, he would CG, like, get hit. And it was so weird looking. And then Conor McGregor is driving this speedboat, and he looks like a Rat Fink or like one of those, like, Big Daddy Ed Roth like monsters. Yes. You know, because as soon as it CGI's the little speedboat, he's like standing up outside of it making impossible speeds and turns to try and run people over with it.
There was also no Wade Garrett.
No, but
which
so
pissed me off.
There were callbacks to the original. When he first shows up in town, there is a sign that says Double Deuce and mm-hmm. and a little shopping mall.
There
and
was then, a Wade. They referenced
and he goes into
Wade.
The bookstore. Yeah, there's a Wade that's a cowboy at the Double X in a Western novel.
Mm-hmm.
So there were little things like that. I mean, really.
So I guess
this is just it's a dumb action movie that you don't need to think about anything, because if you do think about it, it falls apart,
really, really fast. I guess the big complaint that I have with this movie
the end credit scene.
There was an end credit scene?
Yeah,
I didn't even. What was the end credit scene?
All right, spoiler alert. 3, 2, 1. Conor McGregor is still alive.
Oh, pfft, who cares about that? Yeah. Ugh. I will say that I thought...
Spoiler over.
...that Jake Gyllenhaal did a really pretty good job as Dalton.
He was really the only good part of the movie.
He was great at that as that character, you
because
know?
So much of it, like I said, if you think about it, it falls apart. They have the two bouncers that he... Billy that he teaches how to bounce mm-hmm. better, and then the boxer
Reef.
Guy. Is that what his name was? They never say it.
The black guy?
Yeah.
It was Billy and Reef, yeah.
Okay. So the boxer, he gets the boxer in there, and then you don't get anything else about him. And it seemed like him teaching them to be better could have been something.
That's what I missed about this movie compared to the original. Because one of the reasons I like the original, and I think that you can, forgive me if I'm speaking for you, we both work in nightlife, mm-hmm. and we both had a lot of experience in bars and
in fact,
nightlife.
I had to fight someone at a bar yesterday.
And I've kicked out my fair share. Like, some of my staff, like, that I have seen Roadhouse, they're like, oh, yeah, you're a lot like Dalton, because I cruise through there, and I'm like, it's always outside.
And I'm Wade Garrett.
We're going to de-escalate. We're going to take this outside. You know, the violence is always the last option. And you also, it's like... how to control an environment, how do things get rowdy, how do you bring things down, how do you manage this crowd? And there was so much of that Patrick Swayze brought to that character, where you see a little bit of behind the scenes of what an interesting microcosm that bars and music venues can be, you know, and how there is a science and a discipline and all this kind of stuff to it that they don't really tap on in this new movie. It's just like, yeah, there's this bar in Florida and everyone's just fighting for no reason. And like the one where they go bar fight and everybody's just fight. And
that offered some comedy,
but it didn't feel realistic to me.
Nothing in this movie felt realistic. It's very over the top. It's intentionally ridiculous, which kind of took away from when it tried to be serious. And then it offers you these characters and a background on Elwood Dalton's character that they never flesh out. And you're like, well, all of that seems very interesting. Tell me more about this.
I actually didn't mind the fact that he was ex-UFC because it meant everybody knew who he was, which made more sense than everybody knew this famous bouncer, you know, like right. In the original. But yeah, they just, they didn't explore the characters.
Well, and they give you stuff. They're like, yeah, he killed someone in the ring and it was someone he knew. And then you're like, what about it? Is that ever resolved? How did it happen? Why did he do it? And then you don't get that. And then he brings in, he teaches the guy that's at the bar and then brings in the boxer. And you're like, well, these are somebody's. You get a little montage. And then next time you see them, they're getting waxed. They're just absolutely getting wrecked. And then they're not there anymore.
And I wanted a blind guitar player.
Yeah. All the bands in it. I paused the movie a couple times, and Amazon X-Ray shows that it is real bands. They brought in these real bands to do the movie, which was kind of cool. But the story between him and the doctor, like she's like, I hate you. You're a piece of shit.
You want to go on a date? Yeah,
let's go on a date. And then the corrupt police was just dumb because they were hardly any kind of presence for them to be there except for the two times in the story where they're like, here for 10 seconds, a cop's a bad guy. You know, there wasn't enough of it fleshed out, and it felt empty. It's not a bad movie. It's entertaining. It's something. It's on Amazon.
It's not nearly as bad as I was expecting
it to be. No, it's not as bad as I was expecting it to be. I liked it better than I thought I would. But anytime, like, there's very obvious foreshadowing. There's very bad CGI in several fight scenes, and especially everything that takes place on the water. The whole end fight scene is just...
Oh, too much.
Out of place.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Velvet Santa asks on Twitch, he says, pants worthy? Well, considering this is on Amazon Prime, you don't need pants either way. So,
yeah.
But it's worth a watch. I mean, it's if you like beat 'em ups, if you like just brainless action. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal looking freaking ripped in his mid-40s as a UFC dude.
I did like that. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal seemed to put effort into the movie, and him as Elwood Dalton is the only believable or suspension of disbelief in the movie.
He was really entertaining.
Yeah.
And you know, he reminded me of a character that was one, maybe it was Jack Reacher, like where he goes up to those first people and he's like, where's the closest hospital? And,
oh yeah, the very
you know they're
first.
Like, what are you talking about? Is there a hospital nearby? And like 20 minutes. He's like, okay, well you're gonna need to. I'm not gonna break your hand because you're gonna need to drive. And they're like, what are you talking? And then he just beats all their asses. And he's like, oh well, there's a 20 minutes away.
And the semi friendship developed
Abby.
Between him and one of the people that he beats up early on is that's a fun part of the movie.
Yeah. Mo. Abby on YouTube says Jake is Knuff. So, but it's on Amazon Prime. You can check it out anytime you want. It's on demand. And I guess that's, we are very much out of time. So we need to drop in the box office roundup for the last weekend, March 22nd through 24th, 2024. Jake is going to give you the top 10 movies in America. We are going to, give you mostly domestic numbers because domestic numbers are basically how we determine where sequels are going to happen. So always follow the numbers. So number 10.
Let's go. Number 10, dropping from the number 7 spot, Bob Marley, One Love, brought in just over $1 million this past week, bringing its 6-week total up to $95.25 million in the U.S. Not bad for that movie. Number 9, dropping from the number 5 spot, Cabrini, 1.4 for that one, 16.1 total in its 3 weeks out. And then at the 8 spot, Love Lies Bleeding, only 3 weeks out, $1.5 million brought in by that one, It actually gained some theaters.
It is playing here now.
But we've had it for a minute. A
couple of weeks, yeah. 2 weeks.
But 5.7 for it so far in the U.S. Not a lot of dollars on that one. Number seven, Imaginary. $2.8 million on that one. 23.6 in its third week out. It's there if you just want to have some sort of jump scare horror movie.
But if you want a more intelligent scary movie.
One that I've heard nothing bad about so far. I've seen nothing but good things. Late Night with the Devil. Opening with at number six with $2.8 million. I've seen lots of good reviews about this one. And then at number five, Arthur the King, $4.26 million in the U.S. It's brought in a domestic total of 14 and a half in its 2 weeks. Not any money really brought in.
It hasn't really been released
outside
overseas.
The U.S. And then opening at the number four spot, Immaculate, with $5.3 million. Above it at the number three spot, dropping from the top spot, Kung Fu Panda 4, $16.5 million brought in by that one for $133 million in the U.S., $270 across the globe for Kung Fu Panda 4.
Making that money.
And then at number two, holding the number two spot, Dune Part 2 with $17.6 million, $233 in the U.S., $575.5 across the globe.
Doing way better overseas. So
Big dollars for Dune.
Which is good.
And then opening at the number one, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, $45 million.
That is apparently within $1 million of what the Afterlife opened up.
Yeah, I saw that it pushed past Afterlife's opening. They said
it was like 43, I think, was Afterlife's opening.
I guess they said that it was up through Saturday. It looked like it wasn't going to be doing as well as what would ever be hoped for it. And then Sunday gained it a lot of money. Boop. So, yeah.
Well, there you have it. And it has not gotten a big worldwide release yet. It's only made about $16 million overseas, but it's not playing everywhere overseas yet, which I think next week we'll see a little bit more of that. But it's also got Godzilla and Kong to deal with. So, well, there you go. There you have it. That's a box office roundup. And that is the show. We thank you guys for tuning in wherever it is you tuned in via Facebook Live, Twitch, or YouTube. We prefer Twitch. If you want to go over there and follow us or subscribe, we love it when you subscribe. You get ad-free content, and if you follow us over there, you can get access to the Twitch pre-show, which starts at 7:30 every Monday. You can always download the audio version of this podcast wherever it is you download podcasts from, and don't forget to join our Discord channel. You can chat with some of our other viewers. You can become a part of that Drive-In Speaker Box community, and I'm pretty sure that Vince, our Discord mod and Twitch mod, will be hosting a streaming movie after the show tonight. If you want to hang out, grab some popcorn and watch a film. Last week we watched Beetlejuice. And the week before that, I think it was Top Secret, and I'm not sure what is being playing today, but you can find out over on our Discord. And Vince confirms that he will be streaming a movie tonight, so you can check that out. And I guess that's it. So with all that said, I'm the boom operator.
I'm the grip.
And we'll see you next week, folks.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.